Good morning. How's everybody this morning? Yeah, good. Gloomy time of the year. But after winter, spring always comes. I have a couple little things I want to mention before I get to my message for this morning. Next Saturday, finally, is the men's class. We haven't had one since December. And we're talking about the intertestamental period. Or at least we're attempting to talk about it. I'm not sure how the first class went. But we'll be talking about that. So next Saturday morning, 8:30, and we'll plunge right in. Next time I speak, it's February 21st and 28th. And the 21st, I intend to continue with 1 Corinthians. I stopped that over the holidays, and we'll be in chapter 11. In chapter 11, of course, is the chapter that deals with the woman's role in the church and should women wear a covering or not. I hope to be able to satisfactorily answer that question from the Scriptures in one Sunday. But if not, I'll carry it over to the 28th. So I speak the 21st and 28th. Okay, last week I spoke about missionary call, characteristics of missionary, kind of people they should be, what's required of them, and of course, I went through it rather quickly. I just took the big pieces because there wasn't much time, but to give you a good idea of what's involved in this missionary work. Today, I'd like to continue. Now, last week, I answered the question, or tried to, who are these people? What are their qualifications? What makes their ministry unique? And of course, we talked about language, culture, living in a foreign country. This week, I'd like to bring up three more questions. Now, what role does the home church, the local church, play? Every missionary is from a church. What role does it play? How important is it? Okay, so why is it important? And how is it done? How can the local church help these people who wish to be missionaries? Now, you know, the goal of missions centers around the church. The church, somewhere in the world, sends people out to another part of the world to begin churches. We call it church planting. And to establish something that will stay, that will endure, and that will be able to involve itself in evangelism in that area and become an important center for evangelism, teaching, outreach, etc. So the goal of missions is to establish churches. And that's quite obvious, but that's what we're to do. There are many other things we can do, and they are all important. The first thing, primary thing, is to begin local churches. So the missionary needs to have experience in working in a local church. Needs to have experience in a Christian fellowship. Needs to have some idea what's involved. And it's very important that that take place. Usually a vigorous church in Colombia means that the missionary came from a similar church in the United States, a healthy local church at home. And this is very, very important. You cannot have missions without some sort of sending church. Now, I know that there are mission boards and other things, and they have a very prominent and important place to play in God's work. Nevertheless, from the church comes instruction in the Word of God. Usually from the church comes a call. People hear missionaries. They go to camp, the missionaries. Dick Earle said he wanted to be a missionary since the time he was about 9 years old. His father was an elder in Bethany Chapel in Gisborne. And Dick said, we always had missionaries in our home. And we didn't have many bedrooms. So I spent most of my life, it seems, sleeping on the floor and the mat by the radiator, while the missionaries had my bed. But sitting over the dinner table and listening to missionaries talk and other things, Dick began to see that maybe God could use his life. And so we want to talk a little bit about two things, sending churches and receiving churches. Now, there's a biblical illustration here that I want to get at. A church that receives the work and then they send. A church that grows and then they send. Now, I'm going to move around a little bit, and I'd like you to follow me. I'll try not to be distracting. I'm going to primarily focus on Acts chapter 11 and Acts chapter 13. It is very important. All right. Now, we'll start in Acts chapter 11, verse 19. This is very early in the church. Very, very early. And so many things have not yet been taught and developed. The Apostle Paul isn't even out traveling and planting churches. It's a very early, early stage. 19, chapter 11. Now, those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. If you get your Bible map, easy to find. Phoenicia's up on the coast. Tyre, Sidon, Cyprus is a little better off the coast than the Med. And Antioch is Antioch of Syria, and it's just up near the top. And so these men traveled as far as Cyprus and Phoenicia, Antioch, preaching the word, but to no one but the Jews only. Now, that's understandable, folks. This is the early stage. If you read what's happening to Peter at the same time, chapter 10, you will see that the Holy Spirit is trying to convince Peter that the Gentiles should be part of the church and that the gospel is for the whole world. So, time of transition is going on. It's a time of learning. It's a time of understanding what God is doing. But it said they spoke to the Jews, only to the Jews. Verse 20, but some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who when they came to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the word of God. Now, Luke used the word Hellenist here, and Hellenists could be Greek-speaking Jews. Often referred to as the Hellenists. You can see that in the early part of Acts, where the widows were not given any finances, given any help, and they were the Hellenists, the ones who spoke Greek. But it's my opinion, since Hellenist also means Greek, and it means Gentile. And he's talking here not just about the Hellenist Jews, but he's talking here about Gentiles. And I think we'll see as we get into this that Gentiles are being saved. All right? And it says in verse 21, the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. So they're in Antioch, and they're preaching, and a great number turned to the Lord. People were being saved. And obviously, some Gentiles were being saved. Verse 23, or verse 22, the news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. They wanted an investigation. What's happening? Get up there. They're kind of surprised by this. Jerusalem is supposed to be the center. Jerusalem is supposed to be the place from which, around which everything revolves. And Barnabas is a good man, a fair-minded man. They sent him up there. Verse 23 said, when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. He got up there and he saw what was happening and he heard their testimonies and he was really glad. Man, his heart was just beating wildly. He was joyful. This is really something. Beginning to discover what the Holy Spirit wanted to do and the Lord Jesus Christ wanted to do. And when our Lord spoke to Paul in chapter 9, when the Holy Spirit spoke to Ananias about finding Paul, verse 15 of 9, talking about Paul, it says, the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine, to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. So, Paul's ministry was going to be with Gentiles. All right, so this is still a fairly new thing. So, here in Acts chapter 11, we have this, and they sent Barnabas, and Barnabas was up there, and he encouraged them with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. Barnabas knew enough truth to encourage them. Mentions Barnabas. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and the faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Now, while Barnabas is up there, Barnabas is thinking, we need help. But not only that, we need a man with an open mind, a man who can understand this and grasp this. Now, you remember after Paul was saved and he presented himself to Jerusalem, the Jerusalem church was afraid and didn't want to receive him. And it said, Barnabas took Paul and brought him to the apostles, and Paul shared with them what God had done. Barnabas had a wide open heart, a good heart. And obviously he and Paul talked many times. They must have talked again and again. And so when Barnabas saw what was happening, he thought, I got to get Paul. This is the guy we need here. So if you would help me look at your Bible map, you'll see that he went from Antioch to Tarsus. I don't know how far away it is, but it's a good hike. And brought Paul. And they came. And so it says, verse 25, chapter 11, and they departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year, they assembled themselves at the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Some really special things were going on there. And a prophet came to this church. Interesting. And the prophet talked about a famine that would take place in the world. Verse 27. And that there was going to be great need. So verse 29 said the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren, one in Judea. they also did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Now here's a church, and they've been given some help, and they hear about a need, and they dig into their pocketbooks, and they say, take it to Jerusalem. Think of the impact it would have on the Jews. Wow. What an impact. The Jews would be shocked that Gentiles would actually care for them. And they send it by the hand of Paul and Barnabas. Now, go to chapter 12, verse 25. Chapter 12 from verse 1 to verse 23 and 24 is what I call meanwhile back at the ranch. Well, this is going on. Something else is happening somewhere else to convince people what God is doing. And it said in verse 25 of chapter 12, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and they also took with them John, whose surname was Mark. And John had been living and raised in Jerusalem, a relative of Barnabas, and it brought John along. And then it says, chapter 13. Now, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. Now, you must remember, in these days, the prophet just wasn't one who gets up and speaks some biblical truth to comfort and exhortation out of the Scriptures. This was the gift of revealing the truth of the Word of God in a new way. And this is so new. They don't have the Word of God. They need the gift of the Spirit. That's what I feel that gift of prophecy was. God revealing to them the Word. Anyway, we'll look at this in verse 13. And there were certain prophets and teachers. Right? These men who were the teachers were taking this truth and they were sharing it. This is Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. So there are a number of gifted men there who can edify the church, build up the church, encourage the church. And it must have been something unique. Verse 2 of chapter 13. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Right, something is happening in that local church where great things are going on. The Holy Spirit makes it clear that He has a plan for Saul and Barnabas. I have work, and I want you to separate these two guys. I want them to go out. Now, they were among the gifted. They were among the ones who had done a lot of encouragement. And the Holy Spirit said, I want these men to go. I have work for them. Small churches obviously have a hard time giving up gifted people. I know of a small assembly I've been going to, and one young couple has had a desire to go to another part of this country and work in an out-of-the-way place that they visited, see if they could start an assembly. But he's a gifted young man, and they encourage him not to go because they need him. Well, those are special problems of small places. I understand that. But in bigger places where there are gifts manifested, the Holy Spirit is showing that He is the one in charge of our life. He calls us. He knows what He wants us to do. And so he makes it clear that Saul and Barnabas are to go. Separate me, these two men. And work of which you're calling. Verse 3. Having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Took a little time. They prayed with them. They laid hands on them. Laid hands is an ordaining, but this laying on hands is an identification, and it's really important. We're with you. We stand with you. We're behind you. We recognize who you are. We recognize your gift. And we recognize you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ and under the work of the Holy Spirit. And you can see some characteristics here of local church. It's a growing church. It was growing. The people who were there saw new believers come in, saw them disciples, saw them grow. It's a teaching church. They know they must disciple people and teach them and help them to mature in the faith. And it was a concerned church when they heard that the Jews were going to suffer Jerusalem. They sent offerings. There wasn't any animosity in how they were treated before. And so they sent this offering. It was a structured church, and that's because, as we will see, that the elders, there were elders in this church. So it was a church that already had some particular structures of leaders, was functioning well, and of course it was a spiritual church in the sense that they could be sensitive enough to see what God was doing in somebody else's life. Sometimes we can carefully suggest to certain young people to consider maybe going out to the mission field. Talking to them, encouraging them, making ourselves available to them in any way we can. The Holy Spirit was already active in that church and presiding over the church because the Lord called them. He's the head of the body of the church. So these two men are selected by the Holy Spirit. Now, the point of that is, I think, rather simple. You just don't grab anybody and send them. Person is kind of like, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know, maybe I should be a missionary. That's not a bad idea. Maybe you ought to be a missionary. Maybe not happen very often, but you don't want to do that. You want to see what the Lord is doing in people's lives. The local church is absolutely essential. All right. Now we move on. Now, our Lord calls him to the work. And there's prayer and fasting. There's very little doubt the Lord spoke to them. They separate these men and they send them out to the work that God has. They don't know what that word work is yet. They'll discover as they go out, which you'll notice on their first missionary trip, they didn't go out very far. They went to Cyprus. They went up to Lystra, Iconium, Derbe, came on back, and spent some time in their home church reporting what God had done. It was while they were up there that Paul had his first real suffering. And that's when John Mark went back and had to have some time to catch the vision and to grow up. So, this work of the Holy Spirit. And I think it's quite interesting. They gave him over to God. They laid hands on him. But there's something that's interesting about this. The Church of Jerusalem isn't involved in this at all. One would think that maybe Church of Jerusalem would be with the apostles and other, the sender, the sending place, the developing place, the approving place. This church in Antioch is acting completely independent of Jerusalem. I like that. Now, you see, part of the problem is that legalism, exclusivism, rarely can get a clear vision of what has to be done. They're in Columbia, and some are in Columbia working, but they generally stay separate from other people. They spend most of their time being critical and most of their time worrying about their people being influenced by others. Christian Chambers one time said at Mount Juan, I met some brothers over by the airport. And their church functions like ours. Do we fellowship with them? No, we don't have fellowship with them. Well, what? They don't want to fellowship with us because we don't meet their requirements. And the Jerusalem church is legalistic, it's exclusive, it's judgmental, and it cannot send out healthy, good missionaries. All right? So, this is kind of interesting as we move on. And so, Antioch is a model. We will look at Antioch as a model because it surprised everybody. All right? Antioch's a model, first of all, in the fact that people were being saved. It's a model because people were using gifts and gifts were being developed. It's a model because they were in harmony seeking God's will. And it's a model that from there, not Jerusalem, these two men were separated, and Jerusalem had absolutely no control and no power over what was taking place. Now, that brings me close to this idea that, well, sometime later I will deal with regarding the mission boards and mission groups. I have no problem with those. And I've seen what God can do through them. But in this case, there's a local church functioning, working together, and the Holy Spirit feels free to find people in this church and send them out. So they are a spiritual pattern of how to send people out. And that's why people ought to be from a local church and sent out by the local church. Sometimes young people leave their local church. They go off to college or Bible school. There they pick up the vision. They enter areas of training and they hardly spend any time in the local church, but coming in once in a while to see everybody, make sure they keep contact, because one day they're going to need money and the support. When Don and I left New Tribes, we came home. We had no commendation. We came home and we came here. Because I'm from Milwaukee and we came here. We told the elders our story and we said we would like to go back to Columbia as commended workers. But we will stay here and do anything you want us to do until you're satisfied or not that we're capable of going back. Talk about being risky. See, I got a job and I was working and I was taking a couple meetings. I was speaking here. And after 6, 8, 9 months, the elders gave us a letter of commendation. There's no reason why you shouldn't go back. But they said, we'd like you to hang around a while yet. I'm fine with that. First of all, we'll see if we can get you some meetings. And Jimmy's dad, Gus, got on the phone and called a number of men, told them about this young couple, and we got some meetings. Then word of mouth, and we spent another 6 months after we had this letter visiting assemblies and becoming familiar with things. We visited CMML. We spent time with them. We learned many things we had not known. We went back to Columbia. Before we went back to Columbia, I told the elders here, I was a little concerned. I told the elders here that Don and I would like to leave Bogota. We'd like to find a place in the country back in the mountains where there's no evangelical work as far as we know. We would like to pioneer. Our goal is to go to a city, plant an assembly, and from there reach out into the mountains. I'm asking you if I can have 6 months or more to pray and to travel. Now, I was scared because when I brought stuff up to the mission board, it was, that's true. Just told no. The elder said, sure. Why not? You're commended to his grace and God's guidance. You mean, sure. Well, Don and I went back to the field, rented an apartment, and we were praying about different cities to go to, trying to get news and ideas of what to do. Some of the assembly missionaries were asking us if we'd come work with them. And I remember Don and I talking, saying, this is really terrific, being able to pray and wait and have his guidance, knowing that people back in Milwaukee are praying for us and are not panicked. Well, it took me time. I traveled to this city, that city, that city, that city, that city. Bill King, one of the first ones who wanted to join us, said, I've always wanted to visit Bucaramanga. I had never even heard of it. Where is it? Here on the map. It's over there. Let's go. We spent a couple weeks in Bucaramanga, walking the streets, visiting the missionaries, by the way, asking what was being done in the city, what was being done in the mountains. Came home and decided that's where we want to go. What was interesting is that two more people decided to join us and go. When we started off there, we had a nice team. Two married couples and two single people running the mass office. And we got started. But my point is this. It was really, really nice to wait on the Lord. All right, so these young people who are interested need to be aware of what goes on in their local church. Now, the order today is usually Bible college, Bible school. Nothing wrong with that. I believe in Bible schools. Because you get more knowledge in a couple of years than you can get in 20 years or more in your local church. I have no problem as long as you will come home to your local church. As long as you will stay with an assembly. And often you pick up your interest in missions. And then usually those people go out and ask for support. And sometimes, as I said, they don't spend much time in the local church. But my debate is not about the value of Bible institutes and church and the local church. My background in cultural anthropology and some language and phonetics could not be taught in the local church. And I'm sure many of you haven't been here very long, but over the years, CMML has developed more and more training, volunteer training, to help our young people and to encourage them. Now, Sonia and Jeremy, there are different schools available that are open to all Christian churches' missions. And they went and they learned basics of language, phonetics, and boy, is that helping them now. Jeremy picked it up so fast. Sonia did too. But Jeremy picked it up and is doing a good job. Then they studied at another place, cultural anthropology. Not very long, but you learn some things about cultures. And came back here. We were glad to send them out. And came back here and, of course, served. And many times did what they were asked. I remember being asked things to do. I never done them before. No, I'm going to really mess this thing up. Give it a try. The local church is very, very important. You need practical experience in a church so that you can learn how to start a church and understand what you're wanting to accomplish and what you want to do, what your purpose is. And so, you need time in a local church. They should be given responsibilities. They should learn how, for example, to be involved in pastoral work, that is, with the elders. Elders, and take them for a visit. Well, I'm going to visit this guy. Come on along. It's amazing how many conversation you have and how much it opens up understanding and answers your questions. And they should all also have some experience in outreach. Now, they may not be evangelists. In fact, they may never win a soul, but they should have some experience and be enthusiastic, have some idea what they want to do when they get out to the field. And they should be involved in discipleship, helping people grow, getting next to somebody who you think you can help grow, and start pouring some of your life and gifts into another person. So they also should know the difficulty of the work. This is one thing the elders can help. Maybe they don't sit on the elders' meeting, but there's some place the elders can help them. Look, some of these things are hard. Some marriage problems are messy. Some discipline problems can come back and bite you in the heel. It can make other people mad. It can create a problem. They need to know some of this. Right? They need to know the difficulty of work and the discouragement that the work brings. They need to see some things tried and failed. Let's say the local church decides we're going to go in a neighborhood, and you plan, you get the literature, you stamp it, you break up into teams, you have your envelopes, you have all this stuff hanging on the door, the whole thing, and it turns out to be a failure. Nobody saved. They should also learn that the failure should should not be blamed on anybody. They should learn how to accept some of these things in God's program without always trying to find a scapegoat. It's really important. Maybe the people in the neighborhood just didn't want to respond, weren't interested. They also need, as well as this, they need to see the elders in action. Doing shepherding work. They need to know what they're going to do. Not just wing it or take it from some course in Bible school where, well, I'll be the pastor. They need to see the elders in action. They need to see another thing. Unity. This unity and the inability to create unity will confuse them when they go out to the field. They might end up spending more time fighting with people than doing something positive. Unity. There were so many problems in Bogota among the missionaries that missionaries, new candidates, were bailing out. Don and I did. The Yarrows did. Marsha Vanderlyn did. Sandra Sterling did. Others were bailing out, looking for somewhere else to work. This heart. They need to see in the local church forgiveness displayed. You know, they're going to have people take advantage of them. They're going to have people misunderstand them, accuse them of things that are not true, and they need to see forgiveness in action. You can find this out in local church. You can't find it out in a class. You find it out in your local church. They need to see this forgiveness displayed with not any animosity or holding grudges. They need to see discipline used. If there's a need for the elders to discipline someone, they need to understand some things about it, even if they go to the elders and say, "Why did you decide to do this?" One more thing. They need to see problems dealt with. Not shove them under the rug. Not ignore them for fear of difficulties. But deal with them. You see, the local church can be all of this. And I'm deeply convinced that the local church is the sending agency. The local church is the one that stands behind them, and they learn in the local church a lot of very, very important things for the work. So they need to learn and watch problems being dealt with. They need to look to other people, get other people's advice, teach others. So, the local church is very, very important. And we believe, like Antioch, as our model, that we can send qualified people out right from here into the work. Now, there's a lot of things I haven't covered. Oh, my. Last week, I painted this thing with broad strokes. There's a lot of things we haven't covered. But these things are important. And since I said last week, January's missionary month, why, maybe I'll give some more next January. Time to get back to other things. But one of our biggest failures in sending people is they really don't know how the local church functions. They need to know that. So, we often fail to live with a clear model of God in action in the local church. The church in Jerusalem was worried about what was going on. Get up there, Barnabas. Doesn't sound right. I hate to be critical of that church, but they, in their exclusiveness and legalism, were not capable of sending people out, but opposing people who went out. How often did the Apostle Paul have trouble from these people through his entire ministry? Well, that's it. 2 weeks, a lot of things thrown out. But the local church is very, very important. And if you're a young person from here and you have a desire for missions, let the elders know, then be involved and see what happens. It's the Holy Spirit who chooses. It's the Holy Spirit who sends. He sent them out for the work that I have for them. And that's why there's always the freedom to pray and look. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that these principles we've been looking at have been effective, have worked, have encouraged young people, so that when they get to the field, they know how they want to go about things. They know what their goal is. They know what they want to accomplish. And Father, I thank you that when Don and I came home and came to Wauwatosa, we came to a place with a solid, good heritage. And we went back with a lot of understanding and an enthusiasm that strengthened us over the years. Thank you for your word and what it teaches us. We pray and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed. Oh, I was supposed to do it and I forgot. Better the song reader.